Welcome back to the Better Than One Marriage Podcast with these random people. Mm-hmm. Ronald Corsi Jr. and Chelsea Corsi.
That's
Jr.
Me. Junior.
I'm messing this up. Welcome to and welcome back to the Better Than One Marriage. I said Better Than One.
All right.
I'm just leaving this in, Chelsea. Welcome to and welcome back to the Better Than One Marriage Podcast, where two are better than one because they get a good reward for their labor. And if one were to fall, the other would be there to pick them back up. We are your hosts. I'm Ronald Corsi Jr.
I'm Chelsea Corsi. And we're still married.
We are still certainly married. Yeah. And we are still loving each other.
Praise God.
After all this independent marriage that we've been having. I'm here, but I could go at any moment.
Oh.
At any moment, I could just be like, I'm retaining my independence for this marriage. And you have to come in and make sure that I'm satisfied every day. And if I'm not, you run the risk of me going. Know what I'm saying?
I know.
Yeah, I mean, that's what people do these days, Chels.
That is what they do.
But that's for next week. All right.
Yeah. Now, yep. That's why I was looking. I was like, are we doing that today?
Listen, whatever. We're out here. We do what we please. All right? Because people just be out here, Chels.
They do.
They be doing whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And now that we're rearing up on a couple of marriages, you know, my close family members get married.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty much, I guess it's 3 days before our anniversary.
Yes.
We're about to be at 9 years.
Yes.
It would have been better if it was 10.
I know. Lord willing, next year will be 10.
Lord willing, it'll be 10.
Hopefully Jesus just goes ahead and comes back before that. But if not.
Hopefully he comes back before this podcast
then,
is over.
It'll be 10.
If he doesn't, we'll give you glory now, God, until
Amen.
You come.
Hallelujah.
And we'll dance in your presence. Dance in your presence. Sing hallelujah. Sing thank you, Jesus.
Yes,
sing thank you. That would have been too much. I'm going to start singing that. See what they say. They're probably going to diss us, but I ain't going to care.
Just going to look at you like,
oh, that's nice.
Oh, that's nice.
It's a different level of person that can be unexcited about things that are excited. That's the type of thug I want to be, Charles. I want to be that person that just don't get happy and I don't get sad. I just want to be out here like, yeah, that was nice, I guess.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Not really, but yeah, it was. So what are we talking about today, my love?
Today we are talking about Russell Wilson and Ciara.
Ciara.
This beat is
automatic,
supersonic, hypnotic, funky, fresh, work my body so. This beat flows right through my chest. Everybody, my
I don't know this.
Came to party, grab somebody, work your body,
but I remember the beat.
Let me see you
one, two step,
rock, don't stop.
Sorry,
that was definitely. That was right around the time I was coming to actually know any type of secular music.
See, that's a coming
and
to
I
age.
Was hype.
Hype.
Okay, I'm like, yo, this is hip hop.
That's okay.
That's cool.
The Lord have mercy. The most Christian person ever.
Wow.
Hip hop. First of all, that's not even hip hop. Let's just start there.
Well,
it's pop. It's more pop. I mean, it's probably R&B, to be actually honest.
I mean,
was anybody rapping?
Yeah, Missy Elliott.
Okay, she rapped on it.
Yeah,
it probably
I heard about a lot of great
it
MCs.
Probably,
but they ain't got nothing on me.
You know what? That's weird.
Because
Chels.
I'm 5'2", I want to dance with you, and I'm sophisticated,
first of all,
fun. I eat filet mignon, and I'm nice and young. Best believe I'm number one. Woo-wee.
Ooh, now those are some wag bars right there. I tell you, who knew she was really that short? But when you're black, typically I feel like you come in as an R&B singer. And you have to work your way up to the pop charts.
Mm.
That's actually interesting because.
Well, she was goodies. That was her first joint.
But she probably was on the R&B charts.
Mm.
I think that's true because even Chris Brown, like, you know what I mean? Like anybody, Usher, everybody, like if you're black, generally you start off singing and it's categorized as R&B.
Mm.
At least it used to be. I don't know what it is now. Yeah. But that's fine.
Interesting.
So let's.
Yeah, but yeah. Sorry. Excuse our little. Break off.
Random break off.
All right.
Ciara and Russell the Wilson.
Yes. I almost started all over. You went Ciara. I always got to go, this beat is.
Jazzy Fizzle, Product Shizzle.
Oh, don't start.
My Nizzle.
Do, 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 do. and a little thing in the back. When I tell you, me and my friend used to be in her living room watching the music video, trying to.
Yikes! First of all, let's just stop right there. Like, I cannot watch a dance video, anything from that era. It is so hilarious that we ever thought that it was cool. Like, it always looks so goofy. It's like, wow, we were trying to do this?
She was never silly, but a lot of stuff was silly. No,
the main dancer isn't silly. Background dancers are the silliest people.
That's only on live performances.
Especially on, yeah, you're right. In a video, people calling.
Sorry.
In a video. That's the first time that's ever happened.
It is.
Wow, that's a record. Several, but anytime it's a dance video is fine because they make the video. I'm sorry, like a music video, they make it look regular.
Oh, I know why she's calling too.
Even if they're in the backgrounds, you know what I mean. Mm-hmm. But like any live video, like I challenge anybody to watch any live video of background dancers and not laugh at how funny they look. Because they have to be really serious.
Right.
And that's the part that makes it funny. And don't let it have been 15, 20 years ago. Because now the moves are old and they still have to be serious.
Right.
So I was like, is this a joke? Are you serious right now? And they look so funny with these moves. I'm just like, man, they practiced that.
They did.
Wow.
And somebody made it up.
Okay, now that's another layer. Somebody choreographed it. Say, oh, you
yep.
do the.
And a 1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
Pop it, drop, turn.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's like, wow.
Dead serious.
Man, shout out to Marianne. Is it Marianne Gibson? I can't remember. She was the bomb.
Oh.
But yes.
Oh, I know who you're talking about. Yeah.
Yeah, whoever Diddy was always messing with. Yeah. Lorianne Gibson. Yeah. Not Marianne. Well, Marianne. Called her Marianne Gibson.
You're funny.
That's funny. Shout out to Lorianne Gibson.
Amen.
Kind
of. All right.
She was getting work, Joe. She was getting work.
Praise God.
Amen.
I don't know if it was the best work, but we're all right.
Hey, listen. Okay. I'm sure they was paying her.
Well, for the kingdom, would like her to be promoting the dance moves that she was promoting.
Well, she's an actual dancer.
I know.
So now I actually feel okay.
But for Diddy, they're not doing ballet.
Well, no, Diddy. Well, let's not categorize, because Diddy was never that guy. He was never like the, I don't remember any like crazy booty shaking in his videos. They were really trying to make quality music. I'm sure there was somebody who was sexy, but it ain't like, you know, Mystical and them and Juvenile. Girl, you know, big fine woman, back that thing up. He wasn't making none of that.
I'm specifically talking about the choreography.
Yes.
I don't think the choreography of any kind in that genre is God glorifying, but.
Oh, well, that's fair.
You know, I'm just saying I can't be like, praise God, because it's like, well.
Yeah. Well, you know what?
I don't praise God for.
For the choreography.
For her choreography. Praise God for her life.
Yes.
Lord willing, she's given it to the Lord, but you know.
Amen. Well, that's fine. Mm-hmm. That sounds very super spiritual.
No, but, it doesn't. I feel like that's very plain.
Because that's like, well, how about the Alvin Ailey dancers? It's like, well, they're not giving God glory at all either.
Sometimes. It depends on the production.
Right. So that's what I'm saying.
Mm-hmm. Sometimes, and I'm not excluding any other.
Well,
I'm just saying that genre, you know.
Well, that's where it's hard to say that, right? Because like then you have to say, well, because certain things are not necessarily bad. Sometimes people are just dancing.
Sure.
And it's like, well, you can draw into a line where it's like, well, this is a little bit much, but you can do that with anything.
Sure.
And so that's why I feel like I wouldn't necessarily say that about her, because she wasn't, you know, she was teaching men and women. And I never saw anything that was like, oh, what are you doing? But, you know, in general, it could be a little weird. Maybe less with men, because men aren't sexy. but, yeah, you could say that. But you could say that for any profession.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, chefs aren't giving God glory for cooking food.
Mm-hmm.
But maybe they are, because if they're in their gift. But let's not, you know, let's not go on a long tangent about that.
Sure.
So Russell Wilson and Ciara.
Yes.
Okay.
All right. The post says, this viral post recently, what Russell did for Ciara is going over some of you men heads.
Let's stop right there. If you're going to put the post up, you have to have the proper tense. It's men's head. It wouldn't be men heads. Okay? It's going over you men's head.
It's okay. We're not here to tear down.
And technically, it would
woman.
Be you men's heads. Your men's heads. The head of
some of your
heads. Some of your heads, men.
Some of our men's heads. I don't know.
It's horrible.
All right, so choose, let's break words. This down, is what she says. All right, Sierra's birthday was coming up, and of course, Russell could have gotten her anything materialistic that he wanted.
That's not true.
Instead, Russell seen in his wife's recent interview where she said if she could eat anything for the rest of her life, it would be Waffle House. She proceeded to go on about how she loves the food, not even knowing her husband was able to catch the interview.
Yeah.
So he rented out the entire Waffle House for that night, had it decorated, and they were able to listen to music, eat her favorite food, and dance all night. It was the attention and effort, being able to hear her when she isn't even talking to you directly. Mm. That's what made it special. Efforts and intentions.
Yeah, I think she's right. But we do need to clarify. I don't think if she said, hey, I want a yacht, I don't think he has that money. Especially like a $1 billion yacht.
Okay.
I just want to clarify.
Okay.
It's like he couldn't buy her anything.
Sure.
But we get it. In general, you know, with regular standards of richness, he can buy her pretty much anything.
Yeah.
Amen.
For the most part.
But this is like one of the cheat codes of life. And the cheat code is not even actually deep. It's literally actually listen to your wife. Don't hear your wife.
And your husband.
And your husband, right?
Yes.
It could have went vice versa. It's like, listen to what they're saying mm-hmm. to you. And sometimes, like, it's not always obvious. Sometimes it's in the detail. Actually, a lot of times it's in the details.
Mm-hmm.
And just having that awareness to be like you've done that. Where you'll say something that's more in passing.
Yeah.
And I'll remember it.
Mm-hmm.
And then I'll be like, oh, let me do such and such. Okay.
Yeah.
I'm keeping all of it. Putting it in your Rolodex.
Right.
But then it's the wherewithal, like, to actually fulfill it and do it.
Yeah.
I think what happens sometimes with men is, like, I feel like I'm pretty confident with gift giving, but.
Yeah, you're pretty good.
Like, you can kind of second guess it.
Mm-hmm.
And be like, nah, she ain't gonna like this.
Mm-hmm.
Which would be ridiculous.
Right.
But, yeah. I feel like that'd be something you'd like.
More than likely. I mean, would I want you to rent the whole place? I mean, yeah, I would like that. You know me. I'm not big on, like, extravagance.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, if it's too extravagant, I would feel like, oh, you didn't have to do all that. But, like, but taking me to a place that I recently mentioned really loving, you know, definitely I would be like, oh, this is great.
Yeah.
I apologize that I'm like looking at my screen so much and scrolling. That was our first lady calling tomorrow. She's making the birthdays and anniversaries video and she wanted me to send photos.
Well,
that's what I was doing.
Well, I thought they would already have some.
I forgot to do it sooner.
Well, no, like,
oh, you mean
like from
in
last
their
year,
Rolodex?
I thought they would just had them.
I mean, they might have had them of you and of us, but not of Corey, probably. I mean, they probably would want a more recent one of her. November's our month, guys.
Yes, it's the month.
It's
praise
our
God,
month.
Where we celebrate.
Yes.
And I rent out Waffle Houses. Right? The art of gift giving. Here's the art. This is what we'll talk about, Chels. Is the art of giving a gift is to give something that they didn't expect, but they always wanted.
Mm-hmm.
But the only way you can get to that is to work around the edges. You can't be like, hey, what do you want? Oh, I want a crocodile. Be like, all right, let me get her a crocodile. It's like, that's not gonna work.
Mm-hmm.
It's like she has to be like, oh man, yeah. Or you go out like, you know, I wish I had a good example because I've done this with you.
You have,
but I can't really remember like the examples. But it would be like, oh, like if you wanted to get her like a puppy or something,
mm-hmm.
is when she sees a little Shih Tzu and it's just like, oh, I've always just loved Shih Tzus, man.
Right.
Yeah. I never could get one as a kid because I was a kid and they didn't care what you wanted.
Right.
And you go ahead and get her a Shih Tzu.
Right. And it can't be the next day. It has to be like a couple months
from
now.
I would say maybe even a year.
Right.
Like a while down the line.
And hopefully she doesn't go do it for herself before that.
Yeah. But this is where it's like, it's the value. And I was talking to a guy, you know, a friend of mine about marriage today. And it's the value that people place on certain things that we can miss. And I think maybe even at the heart of marriage is maybe maybe aligning your values more so, because like in order to do what he did, you have to value it because, you know, or really you have to value them enough to value it, because you can't be like, she loves Waffle House, so, oh, that's cool. If we ever need some food, I'll get her Waffle House.
Right.
As opposed to, you know, she really loves Waffle House. Okay. What can I do with that?
Yeah.
And do I value it enough to really do it? And not necessarily money, because for him, like I said, like, I don't know how much it is to rent out a Waffle House for the evening, but I know it would be less than if he bought an expensive gift. Because I'm like, a Waffle House, I'm like, how much money could they be bringing in the evening? $10,000 maybe, especially Waffle House. It's not big either. Maybe it's $20,000. So I'm like, if he was buying something really expensive, you want to buy her a car or buy her, you know, a vacation property.
Yeah.
Yikes. That's going to be hundreds of thousands of dollars, if not more. But just having the value of her enough and it to like go and execute it.
And I think you make a good point too, because it's like, are you going to, like, what is your motivation behind it? You know, because sometimes people don't think about what people actually want or need or asked for or vocalized. And they just think about, like, what's super impressive or what would I think was a great idea?
Yeah, that's it.
You know, and it's like, that is still sweet and can still be nice, but not necessarily as endearing and special and doesn't make me feel as valued, is what you're saying.
Right.
I feel much more valued when you do something based on something I've brought up before, said before, or something you've noticed about me than I do. Or something that holds significance, like we talked before about when Ron got a painting of a picture that somebody took the day we met.
Yeah.
And, you know, of course, the day we met, we didn't know we would be together. and neither did the person that took the picture. It was like really a random thing that we actually have a picture that someone took and we're the only ones in it in the room.
Yeah.
And there were other people in the room, but we're the only ones in the picture. It's hilarious.
That is amazing.
Yeah, but he got a painting made of that photo as a wedding gift. And, you know, so it's like, that's not something I ever would have like said, like, I would love to get a painting made. I didn't say that.
Right.
You know, however, it was something, you know, of it was, what is the word for that? I don't know.
Significance.
Yeah, it was something significant. Sentimental. Sentimental, yeah. Significance is, yeah, that's what I was looking for. Mm-hmm. It was something of significance where I could understand the thought process behind it and how that reflected some sort of value, you know, of me and of us being together, you know. Which I feel like this whole season is, you know, the theme is, why should I get married?
Right.
Just in case this is your first time tuning in, you know, we're talking about being in a society and just a time in, of the world where people are just no longer valuing marriage and discouraging marriage even. Yeah. And I feel like what we can gather from this in, and sidebar, Russell Wilson does claim to be a Christian, which is kind of cool. But, you know, I think that something that can be derived from this as like a reason why to get married is because you have someone who's making a commitment to, like, seek out your happiness and your well-being. You know, I'm committing to look for opportunities to be a blessing to you.
Yeah.
You know, and that's very significant because a lot of people can do it, but making a commitment for life that, like, above all others in the world, other human beings, you know, I am specifically looking out for your well-being and your happiness and looking for opportunities, you know, to enrich and enhance your life.
Yeah, I'm sitting there thinking of the episode of Martin where they're supposed to be getting married and he starts talking about the vows. And he keeps saying, trust and obey. Such and such and such and obey. I think that actually used to be in the vows to obey, which is funny. Oh, man. But I think that is one of the biggest reasons that you'll never, I feel like you'll never, other than maybe twins, I don't think you could actually have a real understanding of what it is like for somebody to know you intimately to where she could have actually never even said anything about Waffle House to him. And he could just know. Like nothing specific. Like where the fringe things, you can put together something and it can be like something that'll be mind blowing for her.
Yeah.
Because I can look at the fringes of what you like, mm-hmm. and literally the fringes of your life, and, you know, be like, oh, well, you went to beauty school.
Right.
And, you know, you also went to creative arts, and, oh, and you like fashion. Oh, hey, baby, I got you these tickets to this creative arts fashion fringe makeup conference that they have.
Right.
Which would be ridiculous, right?
Right. But I get what you're saying.
But the point is the reason why you want to be married is because when somebody knows you intimately like that, like, the just to be able to experience that is something that you literally, like I said, like, I think only with maybe twins.
Yeah.
Because twins are, they're literally like the same person, but in another body.
Yeah.
So they know each other.
They've been together since the womb.
Yes. And they've literally been together. Yeah. It's like this with a couple of twins I work with, they're just funny. Like, well, there's actually a few sets of twins that were, maybe it was two that worked that I can think of, and it may have been another pair.
Wow.
But just how they function and, you know, the level of inside joke you have for a twin is infinite.
Mm-hmm.
But other than having that, to have a person that knows you in that same manner and can just, you know, they can be there for you. Mm-hmm. They can support you in ways that you can't even vocalize, but they just know.
Mm-hmm.
Like last week when we didn't have a conversation about you needing a break. I knew you needed a break.
Right.
Not that we haven't had conversations about you needing a break.
Right.
But it wasn't a recent one.
Right,
you know what
right.
I mean? I just, well, really the Holy Spirit on top of that.
Sophia.
So our intimacy.
I still can't get over that.
And then the Holy Spirit says, like, you know, he leads you and say, where I'm sitting there saying to myself, wow, I feel like, you know, maybe I should get her a hotel stay.
Mm-hmm.
It's not me. It's actually mm-hmm. really, it's the Holy Spirit.
It really legitimately right? was the right. Holy Spirit.
And like he's putting it inside of me to do it and then making sure I actually follow through.
Yeah.
And if I would have tried not to, I believe he would have impressed on my heart even harder.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's like it's different when the Lord really speaks to you about certain things. It's like it's like a really strong impression sometimes. It's not always like words for me.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes it can be, but it's voiced in my mind as a words, but it's clear.
Yeah.
It's not thoughts.
Yeah.
Because thoughts can go like left or right.
That's
true. What if I do this or what if I do that? But then the Spirit comes in clear and it's not clouded.
Yeah.
It's like, get her a hotel room.
Yeah.
It was the same thing what I said with Camille. When he was like, literally, give her the whole thing.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, Lord. I was like, oh. I was like, nah. And it kept, nope. And because I wasn't yielded to it,
mm-hmm.
and I was like, that's just a thought. Nope. Here it comes clearly. Give her the whole thing.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, hold on now.
Mm-hmm.
Give her the whole thing.
Yeah.
I'm like, come on. I'm like, oh, man, let's give her the whole thing. I'm like, oh, my gosh.
Yeah, it doesn't go away because you can right. forget that you had certain thoughts.
Correct.
And there's certain thoughts that it's like, dang, I can't shake it.
No.
No, that's been my experience, too. Whenever it's been like a Holy Spirit is telling me to,
right.
I always am arguing with it.
Arguing. You don't
I always
do
am
it.
Like, And that's how you know. It's like, this was not my thought because
yes.
this is not what I want to do.
Yes. Well, there it is.
Yeah. I've shared before about when I first started going to church with Ron, like early on, and I literally had $10, period, and it was Sunday. I wasn't getting paid till Friday.
Help her, Lord.
And I had $10, and I needed that thing to go in my gas tank, okay? Why does my husband think my struggle is funny?
All I could think of was the theme song, The Good Times, when you said that. I was like, man, I got $10. I was like, yeah, I got $10 to a Friday. What's the day? Sunday. It's like, that's a day away from Saturday. What was you doing?
Real life.
Oh, man.
Real life. I paid my Cricket phone bill.
Mercy.
I got $10. Okay.
Yes, Lord. Amen.
Amen.
Yes.
Yeah, so, yeah. Yeah, real life, man, real life.
How does good times go?
I'm at the end. Ain't we lucky we got them? How's it start?
I can't remember, but yes, go ahead. I'm sorry. I can't remember.
And now I'm thinking of the Jeffersons. I don't know.
Me too. I'm thinking of left a good job in the city.
Oh, Lord.
Working for the man every
Proud
night.
Proud Mary.
I'm everywhere. But yes, you had $10. Amen.
I had $10, okay? And I get to church, and I was on E when I arrived at church. The church was about 40 minutes from my house.
Mercy.
I'm on E, when I get there, and I plan on after service going to the gas station that was just about a block away and just getting some gas and going home with my $10, which wasn't going to get me that far. That was going to get me home. I'd probably have like half a tank left, but not really. But yeah, so I was like, all right. And it's offering time. And the Lord literally kept saying, put it in the basket. And I'm like,
What you talking about?
I can't do that. Yeah. And it's like, but I had to come to note, like I came to the recognition of the fact that, wait a minute, why am I arguing with myself about giving this offering? I'm like, why am I even thinking about putting this in the plate? Because I would never think of this.
Indeed.
And I'm like, Lord, are you telling me to put the offering? And you know how it is, the ushers, I'm sitting toward the front, the ushers start in the back row because they were old school. Sure the ushers enough. Start on the back row and they usher each row and she's coming up and I'm just like, Lord, do I really got to put this in the offering basket?
You don't have to.
Arguing the whole time. And then I was like, dang, I guess I got to do it. Because I feel like I'm going to be wrong. And that's the other thing. It's a feeling of, I know I'm going to be wrong if I don't. It's like a guilt of just like, I don't want, I'm going to be doing some, I'm going to be sinning if I don't do this.
That's it, Chelsea.
But you feel it, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I was just like, oh gosh, I'm going to be disobedient if I don't do this. So I have to. And that was my first experience with that. I was 19 years old.
Wow.
Yeah, that was my first experience like that. And I put it in and got $100. That's the short part of the story. somebody from the church, and I had just started coming there. I did not know her. And she came up and was like, the Lord put it on my heart to give this to you. She gave me $100. Yeah. And that's the thing. If you don't let go of what you're holding on to so tightly, God can't give you more. And even with you with the hotel stay, I almost did that on my own. We talked about this last week, but just in case you don't know, last week I was feeling really just like, overwhelmed and like, you know, like I just needed some space. Like I needed like to just be alone with the Lord and just have a little more time than a couple of hours to like just breathe and woosah and just meditate and study and all that good stuff. And I was like, it's just never a good time. And like, I don't feel like I can wait until it's a good time. That was the issue. There's never a good time. And I don't feel like enduring. You know, I want to just take care of myself. And I was about to, the night before he told me he got me a hotel stay, I literally looked up a hotel that was local and called and asked if they had a room. And they did. And I was like, I'm just going to pack and I'm going to go and I'll call Ron at like midnight and tell him I left. It's just so he don't leave the kids thinking I'm still here. And, you know, but it, the Holy Spirit told me like, no, don't do it this way. And I was talking to God and I'm like, but when am I going to be able to do it though? Like, why are you going to make me wait until God knows when that I can actually do it? Like, I feel like I need to do it now. Like I need it now, Lord.
Wow.
You know? And he's just like, don't do it this way though. And I'm like, okay.
Yeah, that's amazing.
I'm sorry. I have to.
Go ahead.
Yeah, because going back to letting go of what you want and God giving you more.
Yeah.
Because not only did I get a hotel stay without any type of discord or, you know, issues, you know, like we're on one accord about it. I can be at peace about it because in retrospect, I wouldn't have had peace if I just left like that either. I would have felt bad.
Certainly.
You know, so it's like God was like, no, you can go. Y'all are going to be on one accord about it. You're going to be able to actually rest and have some peace, you know. But on top of that, Ron also got me a massage the next day. I wouldn't have got no massage the next day. And I needed that massage. I wouldn't have got.
Mercy.
I did. I had a bad headache.
Yeah.
And she actually like did a really good scalp neck situation and like relieved my headache.
Amen.
But yeah, I needed that massage. And I wouldn't have got that. I would have just got an unpeaceful hotel stay had I did it on my own. So
yeah. Amen.
You got to be obedient.
You do. And I want to touch back with what you were saying about that knowing that if I don't do it, I'm going to be wrong.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, right now with the Young Men's Growth Group, we're dealing with The Awe of God by John Bevere.
Mm-hmm.
And just talking about the fear of the Lord is not, it's not being afraid.
Yeah.
It's like you don't want to, it's like when you really, like you don't want to disappoint God.
That's it.
That's what it is. Like, you know, he's telling you to do something and you don't want to be standing there like, I didn't do it. And now you got to look God, you know, what's the word? And you got to look him in the face.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Figuratively speaking.
And eventually like, for real.
And eventually for real. Right?
Yeah.
But you want to have enough fear of the Lord. Really, you want to have a reverential respect and honor for him enough to realize that he's God, right? Mm-hmm. At the heart of it, I was literally, you know, talking to the guys today that, you know, at the heart of it is like we should fear God because he's God.
That's it.
That's actually at the heart of it. And we should obey him because he's God.
Yeah.
That's like, that's actually enough. Mm-hmm. Like that could have been the end of the, like when I said, like when the Bible was written, it could have said in the beginning, God was God.
Yeah.
You should obey God because he's God. The Amen. End. That, like, like that could have been the end, mm-hmm. but he does all this amazing stuff in between. So mm-hmm. we can know about him and, yeah. and like, he gives you all this evidence, but we have so much evidence of him being God. It's like, even at the heart of it, it's like, let's just get down to the simple things. It's like, mm-hmm. if this is God, this is the same God, literally the same. This is amazing. Like the same God who spoke and said, you know, let there be such and such light. Mm-hmm. Let there be light and let there be everything. He spoke it. It's the same God that speaks to you. Mm-hmm. Like the same God.
That's amazing.
And says like, oh, I want to speak to you now. Mm-hmm. So imagine me being like, I know you have these things to say, and clearly you're all knowing because the Bible says you're all knowing, right? You must know everything, but I feel like I have ideas about such and such. Mm-hmm. And God is like, okay. Uh-huh. however, I would like to recall point A. In the beginning, mm-hmm. I created all of this stuff.
That's it.
So what could you say to me that would convince me otherwise of what I've told you to do?
That's what he said to Job.
Yeah. Yes, that is what he said to Job. Yeah. In more words that mm-hmm. were far more eloquent.
Yes.
But that's the gist. Mm-hmm. And he says to Job, you know, he asks him several questions. Where were you when I, mm-hmm. you know, hung the stars in the sky?
Yeah.
He could have stopped right there. That's if it. I was Job, slain. Slain.
You're right, Lord.
I don't know. I'm sorry. I didn't mean it. Mm-hmm. I just didn't understand. yeah. But yeah, that thing, and when it comes to marriage, it's like, I know, like, we have ideas about, like, well, I think this would be better.
Yeah.
I'm like, oh, okay. Yeah, I think it would be better for me. Like, I think it would be better for I'd like to fornicate, really. Mm-hmm. You know, like, I'd like to, let's get a feel and let's see how it is before we really yeah. jump in, you know.
Yeah.
Let's live together, make sure it's working out. Let's not get married at all. Mm-hmm. Let's just live together. And, you know, that way I can maintain my independence in mm-hmm. case he starts acting. It's like, yo, God.
Yeah.
Not me. Mm-hmm. Not some dude.
Yeah.
God. Like the all-knowing, all-creator, almighty, mm-hmm. all everything, all you know, all-powerful God. Like he has an idea, and then you have an idea. Mm-hmm. His idea is really not an idea. Mm-hmm. It's the truth. Mm-hmm. That's amazing. Anything he says is just the truth. Yours yeah. are opinions and ideas. Like, well, maybe this will work. No, this is it.
Yeah.
So when I say no, you need to leave and cleave and be married and love like I told you to love, and it's like it's not an idea.
Yeah.
I'm not trying to get you to figure this out and let's see if this will work.
Yeah.
It's like, no, this is what it is.
Yeah.
Take it.
Yeah.
And accept it.
Yeah.
Amen. Mm-hmm. Agree. Mm-hmm. Please.
That's all.
Don't fight it. But we fight.
All the time.
This is like every human beings are the biggest enemy and advocate for like, oh gosh, we're so amazing. And at the same time, we're so pitiful.
Yeah.
Because we're amazing because we're like God, because he made us creators like him. And we have the character of God. We function like God. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, we have this flesh and a sin nature that makes us not like God at the same time.
Yeah.
So in one stroke, we can be doing something that's so godly. And in the next stroke, we could be doing something that's so anti-God mm-hmm. that it's like, Lord, have mercy, man. Like if you ever thought that people didn't need Jesus.
Yeah.
I'm like, you need to think again, because you would be clearly wrong. Mm-hmm. Like, we're so unbalanced without God.
Yeah.
Where we can be on every side of the coin. We on the side, on the head, and on the tail.
Yeah.
We somewhere in between where we don't know what we're doing, and then we're completely wrong, we're completely right. Mm-hmm. And it's just like, whew, how do we get this together?
Yeah.
I don't know. But the Lord is good.
Yes, he is.
Yes. And his ideas are law.
That's it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Two thoughts I was having while you were talking. One of them is tradition.
Yeah.
People are starting to label doctrine as tradition. And we want to go away from tradition. Okay. If you view it as doctrine, it's not something for you to go away from or evolve.
Yeah, that's fair.
You don't doctrine. Right. Truth does not evolve. No. It remains true.
Right.
And it will never change that it is true.
That's good.
You know, and it's like, but we're just, oh, no, that's just, you know, it's just tradition. It's just these things that, you know, people have been doing this for years. We don't have to do that anymore. Mm. We're evolving. Times are changing. But my word remains the same. There heaven and earth will pass away.
Yeah.
But my word.
Ah.
You know, so it's like, you know, this is not one of those. The word of God is not something that we view as something. Now, the presentation of it.
Sure.
You know, may the way that we reach people with that word may evolve or change altogether. But the word itself remains, and the word is truth. You know, the word is truth. So it's like, well, we can't just decide, like, you know, this is the, you know, the Bible is not old fashioned, you know, and people look at it too, like, oh, that was just for the culture of that day. That was just for people in that time. No.
Certain things. Right. But you know what these things are.
But not right and wrong.
Correct.
Not right and wrong.
Correct.
Not sin and obedience.
Amen. that didn't fade away.
That did not fade away, and that was not only for the people of that time.
Yeah, that's sin. That's old fashioned,
right? Like, stop it. You know, you can tell what's cultural and what is truth.
Mm-hmm.
There's a difference. There's a distinction. But also, what came to my mind is children. Mm-hmm. You know, like, he's our father, and we're his children. You're talking about how, like, you know, we fight him tooth and nail, and we just, but why? But I have a better idea. Oh, my goodness. I literally just told Corey last night when we were leaving our church after a rehearsal, because she said, why can't I do blah, blah, blah? And I was like, just say, okay, mommy. Mm-hmm. I literally was like, just say, okay, mom, and just do what I said. You don't always have to tell me why you don't want to do what I said.
Certainly.
You know, like, sometimes you can literally take it at face value that it's because I'm 32 years old and I'm your mother and you're eight. And I'm telling you, you need to do that. You don't need the why all the time.
Yeah,
you know, true. And if she does need the why, I definitely err on the side of trying to over-explain, because I hate that whole thing of, like, because I told you so.
I told you, and I don't know.
Hate that. I hate the because God doesn't even do that to us.
Hey, well, he God. I'm not.
Okay.
Because I said it.
Right. No, God doesn't even do that to us. You know, like, God gives us a lot of, you know, do this because, you know, like, you know, bad things will happen if you don't. or you'll just miss out on something because you didn't, or whatever, you know. Even if it's just because, you know, because even if it is because I said so, it's like, but because I know what's best for you. You know, like, he tells us why, you know, and I don't feel like we should treat children like it's like they don't need to understand anything. They just blindly, you don't want them to become adults that just blindly follow what they're told and can't think for themselves, don't ask questions, aren't curious, don't, you know, we don't want that. However, at certain times when it's just something really small,
it's not the time.
It's not always the time. Yeah. It's not always necessary. It's correct. Like, can you just do what I said?
Yes. Amen.
And
amen.
I feel like God is probably looking at us like,
amen.
Can you just do what I said?
Wow. and yeah, that's, wow. That's, because.
Yeah.
Yes, Chels. Because he's 32 and we're 8.
That's it.
And really, he's 1,000 and we're
really,
an infant,
he's infinity,
and we're
a newborn,
a fetus,
right?
Like, you, your words are shut up. Just don't talk, please.
Right? Because you just don't know.
You don't know. That's the key.
And the thing is, you can trust me,
right?
Because I do know,
and I don't change,
and I don't change.
I have to be
faithful. I'm not going to steer you wrong.
Come on now.
I'm not going to withhold any good thing from you.
I'm literally steering you right.
Yeah.
I'm gonna steer you wrong and right. I'm not two-sided. You two-sided. I'm the Lord. I do not change. I am faithful above all else.
There is no shadow of turning.
There is no shadow. It didn't even say he didn't turn. Mm-hmm. There's no shadow. Mm-hmm. It doesn't even look like you're turning. Thank you, God.
That would have
meant. See? That's what it meant. See, a shadow is turning. It's like, oh, it looks like you're turning. No, I'm sorry. That was just a shadow. No. There is no shadow of turning.
Well, I think it means he doesn't turn.
No. No, I'm reading into it.
Okay.
There's no shadow of turning.
Read. No, it's talking about his faithfulness. He remains the same.
That's right.
We don't have to worry about you changing up on us.
I don't. But there is. It could have said, there is no turn. Wait, hold on. Now I got to go through. Great is thy faithfulness, O God our Father. There is no shadow of turning with thee. Right? There is no turning
but
with thee.
But then it says, thou changest not thy thou compassions, not. They fail not. As thou hast been, thou forever wilt be. God bless you.
All right. Sneezing on the podcast. Yes. No shadows. Just like you walk in the shadow of death.
Yeah, yeah.
Right. It's the shadow. It's not, it's you know what I'm saying.
It's not death itself.
It's not actual death. It's the shadow.
Yeah, ooh, yeah.
I got to sneeze again.
Well, you typically sneeze in pairs or triplets or all quadruples. Right.
Yes, but
I'm sorry. I have to give a quick sidebar.
Yes.
Why is it that some people sneeze multiple times and some people sneeze once?
When I say, if you ever meet somebody that sneezes once, it's like, what's wrong with you?
I literally sneeze once.
Something wrong with you?
No, I'm some not people the do. Only
achoo,
one.
Achoo. Some people do that every time.
Well, achoo, I told you achoo. My father was achoo, achoo, achoo.
That's drawing. That is drawling.
The third one was always elongated.
How you have an elongated third sneeze every time you have a sneeze?
It was every time.
Trio.
It was a pattern.
That's baloney. He was drawling. Oh, man.
A character.
But that is it, Chelsea. Is there. We have to realize that he, number one, if he is guiding you, that means he knows the way.
Yeah, yeah.
And he knows where he's trying to take you. We don't know where he's trying to take you. Mm-hmm. He's trying to take you from glory, from glory to glory, from faith to faith. But mm-hmm. we don't know what that looks like. Mm-hmm. And because we don't know, you should have actually more trust in him because you have no idea where he's taking you.
Right.
You know he means the best for you and he means well. He's not, you know, mm-hmm. leading you into some foolishness. But because you don't know the end from the beginning, it's like this is the humility that God requires us to have when we serve him.
Yeah.
It takes a humble person to realize I don't know anything. Mm-hmm. So I'll serve God and whatever he tells me to do, I'll do.
Amen.
And that's easier said than done.
It is.
But it's also easier than we have to make it mm-hmm. sometimes. Just mm-hmm. do what God says.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Amen.
Amen. All right. Well, we'll leave on that note. It sounded good to me. Amen. At the end of the day, do what God says.
That's it.
In his word. I know you feel like it wasn't God that wrote it, but if you actually read it, you wouldn't feel that way.
Amen.
Because God would never say, you know, things that we would say. If I wrote a book, I certainly wouldn't say, hey, don't fornicate. That'd be like, yeah, let's take that out. Love your enemies. Really? Mm-hmm. That can't go in there.
Come on now.
Trust me. It was by God.
It was.
Amen. So thank you for tuning in to the BTO podcast. We are still married and we still love you and we love each other. Mm-hmm. I love you, honey buns.
Love you too.
And we will see you next time.
All right. Peace. Bye.